In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Time for your coolest conversations on Little Stephen's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Keith Strang, guitarist in the long-running Fleshtones. The New York City band is celebrating their 50-year anniversary this year with special shows. Last month, Keith released his debut solo album, The King of Queens. And next month, the Swedish band Stupidity is releasing a new album titled Beyond Stupidity that features Keith on it. Keith is also the guitarist on a recent coolest song of the world, Stop and Take a Minute Please, from my band The Woggles. That's out now on our Rarities album titled Stop and Take a Minute on Wicked Cool Records. We'll hear a portion of it now, and then I'll be back with Keith for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Coolest conversations time here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage, and I've got the opportunity to chat today with Keith Strang, lead guitarist in the Fleshtones, who is also these days with the Swedish band Stupidity, and his past projects include Underground Garage favorites The Split Squad and The Master Plan. But the reason he joins us today is that he's lent his guitar skills to this week's coolest song in the world, Stop and Take a Minute Please, from my band The Woggles. It's off our new Rarities album, Stop and Take a Minute. It's out now on Wicked Cool Records. How are you, Keith?
I'm great, and it's good to be talking with you again, and we're going to talk about one of my favorite recordings I've done in the past few years, Stop and Take a Good Look. Wait, no, that's the wrong song title. Anyway.
Yes, well, the right song title is Stop and Take a Minute, Please.
I will stop and take a minute. I'll take a few minutes if you want.
Yes, well, that's what we're doing. We're going to have a chat about it. The song written by our late guitarist Jeff Walls, also known as Flesh Hammer. And this was the final demo that we had worked up with him, but his son passing in 2019 kept us from recording it with him. And our initial plan was to record an album after his passing with all sorts of our guitar playing buddies, including yourself and Little Stephen, Pat Beers from the Schizophonics, Greg Cartwright from the Raining Sound, Rick Miller from Southern Culture on the Skids, and Peter Greenberg from Barrence Whitfield and the Savages among them. But then the pandemic, you know, that got in the way of things. And by the time the dust settled, we'd actually had a new permanent lineup with Shane Pringle and Graham Day on guitar. So we couldn't get all that stuff on the last album. So now it's got a prominent spot on this Rarities album. And I was wondering, back in the 80s when the Fleshtones were on IRS, Jeff had this band called Guadalcanal Diary that was signed to Elektra. Did you ever play with them or see them, or how did you meet Jeff?
Well, I met Jeff down in Athens, Georgia, when the Fleshtones would go down to perform at the 40 Watt Club. Actually, for many years, we would stay with Jeff. He would take care of the Fleshtones. He would give us a place to live when we would be coming through Athens, Georgia, or just that part of the United States down south in Georgia. He'd give us a home. He would drive us around in his fabulous GTO. He even did a photo session with us in his GTO that I would love to show you those photos. Anyway, and also, if I may add, Jeff Walls, not only being an incredible guitar player and a human being to know, he was also a great cook, and he knew the flesh tones like things from the South, treats, you know, like, and he could make the best gumbo. He knew that when I was coming to visit, he would whip up a gumbo. I don't know how many times. I must have had four of his gumbos, easily the best. I always look forward to seeing Jeff because he could play guitar better than anybody, and he can make gumbo better than everybody.
Again, thanks for being on that track. And to me, the stop.
Yes.
Take a minute, please. It's got this very Trogs-like feel to it. At least that's what I picked up on the first time I heard this demo. What about you? What do you?
When I heard that track, I thought of the Trogs immediately. And a matter of fact, the guitar parts I put on it were influenced by the Trogs. And I'm going to tell you the name of the song that influenced me. Are you ready?
Yeah.
A song called "Feels Like a Woman to Me."
Yes, we played that even here in the channel.
Single. Yeah. It was a single, and the B-side was also a great song called "Strange Movie." Do you know this song?
Yes. I mean, that's got the in fact.
Yes, that's right. Did you ever cover that?
No, but I saw the Trogs play in 1985, and it was out in this Georgia field, right, with the sawdust on the floor, and it was the 20th anniversary of the British invasion, and it was Herman's Hermits with no Peter Noon and no original Hermits, and it was Jerry and the Pacemakers, and Jerry kind of needed a pacemaker, and it was you know, Badfinger, of course, with the main guys all long gone. And but the Trogs were all the original guys still at that point. And they were phenomenal. And they came out and they talked about, they did, you know, did their thing, and they did that song. And Reg Presley was kind of leering, and he told, you know, the mothers to cover the ears of their children because this is a song.
He was right, I mean, basically his songs were all about sex, which is not a bad thing, and it's kind of a human thing. So I had nothing against it. You know, I saw the Trogs in Max's Kansas City in the late 70s.
Wow.
Late 70s in New York City, the Trogs were coming through, and they were great. And they were great, and the place was packed. They would do weekends, Thursday through Saturday, Max's Kansas City. It's never at CBGB's. You know, Max's Kansas City, I have to admit, because I was around for this stuff, that was the club to play. And they also loved the Fleshtones. So I've always been partial. Anyway, that's where I saw the Trogs, and they were playing "Feels Like a Woman to Me." Now, let me tell you how that hooked into what we're talking about.
Yes.
The Jeff Wall song that I played on. The fuzz guitar part that I did, the sound is totally based on the fuzz sound that was recorded on "Feels Like a Woman to Me." Now, do you know who produced that?
The original version or your version?
We're talking about the Trogs version, "Feel Like a Woman to Me." That guitar sound inspired me for the fuzz guitar part I put on your song.
Or who produced it?
Well, "Feels Like a Woman to Me" was produced by Roger Bain. Do you know who he is?
No, tell me about it.
Roger Bain produced the first three Black Sabbath records. Can you believe that?
Wow, all right.
Yeah, you see, the Trogs were going heavy at that point. They were going heavy with the fuzz. Anyway, that fuzz tone, I believe, was probably put through what was called a Morley Classic Power Fuzz Wah pedal, okay? Now, what you do, because I had a friend help me get that sound for your record because I wanted it to be great and outstanding. What you do is you get that fuzz tone going, but you set the wah. You don't actually play the wah like a wah because that's not what you want. But you want a certain tone when you put it in a certain position between like treble. There's a certain spot, a sweet spot you hit. And that's exactly what the Trogs did. But their recording, "It Feels Like a Woman." So I took that idea and I came up with my own riff for your track based on that idea and that sound. I put some thought into recording on this track. You know, I know that you guys asked me originally, "Keith, just can you do a solo?" But I thought, like, you know, that's too easy. That's mindless. Anybody can just do a solo. Why not come up with riffs and something like, you know, I just wanted to be a piece of the writing or do something that mattered. So because I've always loved what you do.
So you're also playing, did you add a rhythm guitar part and 12-string guitar part?
I did. I did basically all the guitars. What I did was I did the main guitar, and I was thinking of Jeff Waltz. I was thinking of, like, you know, a Vox with a Telecaster through a Vox at a very high volume with the Fender basement cabinet. That was for the basic track, basically. Yeah. And then I put on the fuzz guitar riff that actually was also used for a riff solo part in your middle eight of the song, going, you know, working off the Trogs idea. And then for the chorus parts, I did a 12-string part that just floats above the whole thing that you can hear. It's as if, you know, if you invited Peter Buck in and he said, Peter, can you do a part, you know, like, because I know what he does. And it would be something like that. And then I even put vocals on. You see, I did all this stuff, and I just figured you would use what you want. But it turns out I think you used most of it.
We used most of it, yeah. Which and now, speaking of backing vocals, you enlisted the aid of a guy that's also in Stupidity with you. And I'm not quite sure how to say it. Is it Janne Wirth or Jan Wirth? How do you say it?
You got it. Janne Wirth. And he is singing the parts. He was the one who really wanted to put vocal parts. And then I said, yeah, let's just put it down and see what they think. And we loved the song, by the way. When we were recording it, we were working in a studio in the old town in Stockholm. Gamlestaden is the old town. And the studio was called Duskwood. And it's got this maniac garage guy. He's possessed. He has passion. And he's from the north. I mean, he's from the way north. He was learning Eddie Van Halen guitar solos before the record was even released in this part of the world. You know, wow. He was a maniac. And anyway, he moved to Stockholm and he started a studio called Duskwood. It's great. You walk in there, it looks like somebody threw a bomb in there. There's like, you know, I don't know how he knows where anything is, but I'll tell you what, if you want a guitar sound, if you need some piece of equipment, he has it in his hand in front of you in 45 seconds. He knows his studio. I just love how it looks like it's disheveled, but it's anything but that when he's recording and when he's making a record. Same as Stefan. Anyway, we fell in love with that song and what you guys were doing. And we wanted to mix it, but it's too bad. You should have gave us a shot. We could have just run a mix off and we, you know, but you, of course, you wanted to mix it yourself because, you know, you got your team of people that you're working with to make the record. But we loved the track that much that we wanted to just, you know, we just wanted to finish it then, you know.
Well, we do. At some point, we will, you and I will be together. We'll be together with the Woggles. We'll play through the song, and we're going to make that happen. Talking about your bandmate there from Stupidity, so you've been playing with Stupidity for a couple of years now. They've got a new album coming out next month, June, Friday the 12th. It's on Wiggy Cool Records. It's titled Beyond Stupidity, a covers album. And on there, you guys are doing a Fleshtones song, Cold, Cold Shoes.
Yes, that's right. Because the lead singer, Beyond, and maybe Tommy, they had a group before Stupidity, and they were covering Cold, Cold Shoes. They told me it was their favorite song, not even just favorite Fleshtones song. It was one of their favorite songs. Can you imagine? So they won, and then I said, well, if you like the song that much, I'm here. Why don't let's do a new version, you know, and I'll tell you what, their version is way superior to the original version, the Fleshtones. I mean, when we made our version of Cold, Cold Shoes, we were working with this producer. Things weren't going properly. We didn't like the sound. They didn't like us. The engineer at the session hated us. He was always talking about how he worked with Neil Young and how we didn't know what we're doing, that we were nothing. This was early Fleshtone years. This was my introduction to making a record. It was with this song. So anyway, it was a pleasure to hear the song being recorded by a group that loved it and loved what the Fleshtones were about. And I was glad to be able to be on the song and on the recording.
And I want to let you know, I have the original version on my jukebox here at home. It's there's the B-side to Girl from Baltimore.
Yeah, no, it was on this EP. It was the first record we did for Miles Copeland's label, IRS Records, part of A&M. And that was on the EP called Up Front. And it was It was produced by Paul Wexler, who was Jerry Wexler's son. You know Jerry Wexler?
Yes, we know Jerry Wexler.
This was the son of Jerry Wexler. So he was producing us at that point. Everybody thought that was a good idea. Anyway, time always will reveal the truth.
Stupidity's version of Coco Chews is going to be on Beyond Stupidity out next month. Did you have a hand in any of the other covers that were chosen?
Yes, I did. I turned them onto the song by the band, you know, Spread It Around. You know this song? This song is one of the great, great rock and roll songs ever recorded, and so politically incorrect at the time, but I loved it, and I loved the Bags. One of the great Boston rock and roll, one of the great American rock and roll bands that ever existed, is the Bags, because they're still making records, and I think they're releasing a new album. I hope you guys get your hands on it and play it constantly. Anyway, so I turned Stupidity on. I said, you guys ought to do this song, because this song you guys can nail. Just get the groove, you know? It's a pile driver groove. If you got that, and I know that Ernie's voice was perfect for that style vocal. Anyway, they did a killer version. They nailed it. Tommy nailed the beat, the halftime hi-hat thing and everything, and the track smokes. So, yeah, I turned them on to that track. And then, you know, Ernie came in with a lot of interesting, great ideas that were just not your typical garage band. And anyway, like a John Peel song, is it? I don't know. Anyway, a lot of great stuff. That's a very cool covers record. I'm very proud to be part of that. Actually, I think I've made 3 albums with them since the pandemic.
Wow.
I made an album called Waking Up the Band. I work with them. I help produce. I'm songwriting. I'm like a member in the band when I'm around Stockholm. Anytime I'm around, they can depend on me to show up to play shows. I don't screw up. I come in knowing the songs. I don't even have to rehearse. I'll hit the stage and nail it. And then we did this album that was called AI, another album of all original songs. And then the new one, which is finally on the label, called, you know, Wicked Cool, thank goodness. That's a good idea, if you ask me. I was hoping absolutely that they would be on the label 10 years ago, quite frankly. But anyway, I love that they're on Wicked Cool and the covers record. And I just hope they go forward and continue making albums. And when I'm around, I'll be part of the process. You know, hey, if you want me to be proud of your process, man, you just got to write me a little email.
Maybe
you want me to even like write a song with you. You know,
well, that sounds good to me. We will get on that. But mentioning new records coming out, I want us to talk some about your solo album, The King of Queens. This is your debut solo album, right?
You know, I am the King of Queens. I am the true King of Queens. I was born in Flushing Hospital, baby. But I tell you what, I am living in Stockholm now, but you know something, I'm still the King of Queens. It doesn't matter where you put somebody from Queens, they're always going to be from Queens, if you know what I mean, even here in Sodom Mountain, Stockholm. So
the King of Queens, their solo album, it features contributions from longtime pals of yours like Peter Buck, you mentioned him earlier, there's Scott McCoy on there, Scott's young, fresh fellow bandmate, Kurt Block, Michael Giblin, and others. Oh, when did you decide to do a solo album? Why did it take so long for you to do a solo album?
Because, quite frankly, Manfred, I never decided to do a solo album. My solo album is actually a collection of tracks through the past 4 years or so, recording at different studios. I never actually started out thinking like, oh, I'm going to record a solo album. I'm going to show them that I can make a solo album also, because everybody, I mean, you got to do that, right? Anyway, that wasn't my gig at all. What I did was I just started to record tracks. I have plenty of songs. I have like 20 songs now, original songs in a notebook I could show you, you know? And I just decided to start recording them when I was with certain people. And the idea was I wasn't going to have a set band. I was just going to record with whoever was around me, whatever studio, because I can play drums, I can play bass, guitar, I sing, you know. And then whoever the engineer is usually somebody, let's say, like Kurt Block or Mike Giblin. They can all play a million instruments better than me. They're all just wonderful to, like, work off of. So I would, like, you know, go visit people in different parts. The album has been recorded in, I think, four different countries. Something like that. France, Spain, United States. I don't know. Sweden. So anyway, four different countries, you know, many different producers. The track you're going to play, actually, I recorded in France with a very young band. This is a band called the Dynamite Shakers. We'll get into that if you want to talk about
it. Yeah, I want to talk about that song in a moment, but I wanted to touch on some of the other songs first. Like, you got a tune, Carried Away, and I'm assuming you're singing about making music, playing guitar, but it starts off with you saying that you were considering stopping playing guitar. Is this a real moment that you're recounting in the song?
Yes, the song is about my severe alcoholism, which occurs every once in a while, and how I got carried away. If you listen to the lyrics, I get swept away by a river made up of red, red wine. I lifted a bottle, opened the bottle, took a pull, and baby, I went for a ride. So that's getting carried away, and that's what the song is about. Anyway, and it's about how I didn't stop playing guitar, and here I am talking about the record, and the song is on the record. So I guess I think I only got carried away so much, right, you know? And then I could start treading water or treading wine or whatever and, like, you know, come out of it. So, yeah, that's what that song is about.
It's got Michael Giblin playing on it.
Yeah, let's see. I'm Carried Away. That would be Michael on the bass. I'm playing all the other instruments. Michael usually would, on those songs, there was usually two to three songs with each engineer, producer, if you will, that I would be working with. Michael played all keyboards and bass guitar, because he can play that stuff much better than I can. And he's also great to work with. He has so many great ideas, and it's just fun. I'm very flexible in the studio. I love working off of other people. I don't just like to go in with an idea and that's what it is. I don't want to hear anybody else's input. I'm totally into working with people. So if we get together, you and I, don't worry, I'll be listening to you, Manfred.
You know, when I was a kid growing up, we used to see lots of lightning bugs in the neighborhoods. And I think you give them a different name, fireflies. But when I think of lightning bugs, fireflies, I think of childhood immediately. You got a tune called Fireflies. Tell me how that resonates with you, fireflies, and why you wrote the song.
Well, I wrote the song, of course. I'll try to make this short, but Lionel Limignano, you see, I play with a French group called the Limignanos.
Yes.
And he had this piece of music, and it was already recorded. The music was already recorded, and he sent it to Rod Stewart's management for consideration to maybe Rod would use it for a Rod Stewart song. Management got back and said, like, no, we're not interested. So he had this piece of music. Then he asked me, well, you know, Rod Stewart rejected it. Maybe you would want to do something with it. And I said, yeah, sure. So I came up with this lyrical idea and melody. He just handed me this piece of music, and I just arranged a vocal and melody and idea over it, and then rearranged it with editing, and that became Fireflies. And yes, indeed, it's about childhood, growing up, and trying to catch fireflies and put them in a jar. Of course, you would... You know, the top of the jar, the lid, you would put holes so they make sure they would still have air and could breathe. And they could live in your jar and light up. And when it was dark, it was just like having a light in a jar. And you could walk. It was just magical being a kid. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea. I want to fill my empty jar, you know, so I can, you know, have my inner light or whatever the hell I was writing about. So that's that song. And that was, like, you know, growing up, going out and visiting my aunt and uncle and spending nights out on Long Island, getting away from the city in the heat of New York City summer. So that's what Fireflies comes from, you know.
What about Girl in Me? Seems like you're kind of getting in touch with your feminine side.
Well, shouldn't we all? I mean, yeah. Believe it or not, Manfred, you have a feminine side. Have you been in touch lately?
Well, yeah, I was. In fact, let's discuss that, because I was wondering, was wondering, do you have a name for your feminine side? Is it like Marge?
Yes, I do. My feminine side is called Keitha. Do you like that?
I do.
Well, very good. If you want, I'll allow you to call me Keitha.
Keitha. Well, I think that you make a lovely couple, both of you.
The one cover song on my album is a song by Johnny Thunders, and it's called I'm a Boy, I'm a Girl, which is a fabulous song. And the version I did, you see, Johnny, the only version he ever really recorded was on the, I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, he was just him with an acoustic guitar in Paris. You know, I guess he wanted to make some money so he could cop, you know.
Right.
But anyway, the song, I took the song and it was and transformed it into, arranged it for a band. And that's my version. So, and then I thought like, gee, I love that song so much. So, and then I came up with like my version, The Girl and Me. You know, instead of I'm a boy, I'm a girl.
So I'm a boy, I'm a girl. Who was on? Who else is on that one?
Oh, that would be recorded with Michael Giblin. Michael is playing. That's with the little band, and they're a good band. It was Michael Giblin on bass and Mark. Oh God, I wish I had the record cover. This is years ago. Michael dug these guys up, and they're great. The drummer I remember at the session was an incredible drummer, and it was Michael's lawyer.
So, oh, like, wow,
if you got to legal problems, you know, you could, like, you know, call your drummer up and get things straightened out, you know. And the guitar player, his name is Mark, and I forget his last name, and he's wonderful because the solo he did on the Johnny Thunders song was kind of like Johnny. You know, he kind of had that down. Not that we were shooting for that, but he was a fan of Johnny, you know. And, well, so was I, but... And I'll tell you what, everybody talks about you can't put your arms around a memory and... whatever, but I'll tell you what, I'm a boy, I'm a girl is quite a song, and it's so, you know, what it's like growing up and being so alienated and lost growing up in Queens, deep Queens, as I call it, deep Queens, New York.
Deep, you know, in your realm.
Deep in my realm. So, of course, that had to be on my album.
Absolutely. Well, we can take a listen to one of the songs off the debut album. We're going to take a listen to... Rock and Roll is at it again. And I think you were mentioning that this you're backed by the Dynamite Shakers on there.
Yes.
Well, who are the Dynamite Shakers?
Well, the Dynamite Shakers are a band that has been percolating in France all the way on the coast. You could just about step into the Atlantic Ocean. They basically live in a small town called Saint-Hilaire, which is very close to Nantes, France. They've been playing together as the Dynamite Shakers ever since they've been in high school. They started out covering songs by the Flaming Rubies, the Fleshtones, groups like American rock and roll bands, and that was their influences, you know. And we would play with them for years. We would go to that part of France, and they would be the opening band. And then they just kept at it, and they were going to school, mind you. They didn't leave school, and some of them are still in university, but now they're booked by AEG. They're on a major label. They're actually, their new album was produced by Lionel Limagnana. There's that name again, Limagnana's.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's a fabulous record that they just completed. And I'm going to be seeing them at we're doing a 50th anniversary show, I believe, May 30th and June 1st.
Now, when you say we, you're talking about a Fleshtones anniversary show?
Yeah, the 50th anniversary shows. We're going to be doing one at the end of May, June 1st, Saint-Hilaire, France.
Okay.
And the Dynamite Shakers will be playing with us as part of our guests the second night.
And are you going to do some Fleshtones 50th anniversary shows in the U.S. too?
Well, that's what's going to happen in August. That's what's happening in New York City. And we're going to have plenty of guest stars, more stars than there are in space. And that's happening around August 6th, I believe, at the Bowery Ballroom. That'll be the first one. Oh, no, the first one. I'm sorry. The first one will be in France the end of May. The second one will be August in New York City. There's another one that's being proposed and put together right now for October 2nd in Stockholm for two nights.
Wow.
And then there's going to be one in Italy that's coming together right now. And that's going to be, end of October into November.
50 years and counting. My goodness. Wow.
What do you think? Should I keep going? Should I make some more records? Oh, you know, the Fleshtones, by the way, the Fleshtones have this dynamite new single we just recorded with Michael Giblin. It's a single for Yup Rock, and it's going to be our 50th anniversary single. Two original songs, and it's going to be released right on the August 6th show in New York City at the Bowery Ballroom. It will be available in hand, vinyl, single, the new Fleshtones single.
Well, tell me about those songs real quick. So two original songs.
Well,
are they...
okay, the one song is called Say It. Say It, Baby. Say It. Float Your Showboat, Baby. It's a real, I wish I could play it for you to blow your mind. You could get a scoop on it. It's a song by Peter and I. The other side is a song by Peter. These tracks are dynamite, highly danceable. They take you back to the days of songs like the Leather Kings, Roman Gods, Hall of Fame, the funky four corner side of the Fleshtones. That's what I'm talking about. Highly danceable. You can't help but move your feet. That'd be perfect for you.
Now, absolutely. In fact, I'd have to keep my my shoes laced up tight because it sounds like it's going to knock my socks off.
Then I would, if I were you, I wouldn't put any on.
Yeah, that would be it. Well, look, let's take a listen to Rock and Roll Is At It Again. That's the name of this track we're going to hear. And everything you're telling me about the solo stuff you've been doing, the, you know, this Fleshtone stuff that's coming up. I mean, it can't stop the rock, man. Can't stop the rock.
And why would you want to? What choice do you have? People like you and I, Manfred, we don't have a choice. And thank God. If there's a rock and roll God, you and I are both plugged into the right heaven.
Amen. Keith, I need to thank you so, so much again for a couple of reasons. Number one, on behalf of the Woggles for contributing to our tune, Stop and Take a Minute, Please, and really helping make Jeff's vision, you know, come to fruition. And of course, for just speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations, man, much appreciated.
Well, I'm glad you rang me up and invited me.
Well, we're going to take a listen now. Rock and Roll Is At It Again. Keith Strang from the solo album The King of Queens and Little Stevens Underground Garage. Rock and Roll Is At It Again. That's solo Keith Strang of the Fleshtones here in Little Stevens Underground Garage from his debut solo album, The King of Queens. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Keith for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Cemenza and Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. Dan Maraldi is a singer-songwriter based in New York City with a number of releases under his belt. His latest single, Magic in the Air, features our very own Palmyra Del Ran on the backing vocals. And it's also his debut for Wicked Cool Records. And he'll be my guest next time around to tell us all about it on your Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.